Several weeks ago, I started a series of lessons on four spiritual activities, four spiritual verbs, if you will: sitting, standing, walking, and running. We've already considered sitting, which speaks to us of a place of rest and of fellowship and of authority. Standing, when we speak of a spiritual standing in Scripture, it's a place of strength. It's a place of stability. It's also a place of commitment to be immovable and to be faithful. This morning, we want to consider the verb, the spiritual action or activity of walking. This verb is often used in Scripture metaphorically to speak about our day-to-day conduct, the course or the manner of the way in which we live. It's used so often that we won't even begin to look at all of the references that use this analogy of the Christian experience as a walk. But we do want to understand what it means when the Bible talks about our day-to-day living, our choices, our attitude, our actions, our associations. Why is that compared to walking? Because we all know what natural walking is. Let's just start with the basics. Let's examine and consider for just a moment what's involved in the natural, literal activity of walking. The first thing that we can notice about this very simple activity is that walking is a means to get from one place to another. That's usually why you walk. When you walk, it's always helpful, at least if there's a path or a sidewalk or a road, a way of some kind that you can follow. The second thing that we can notice, and with each of these points, we're going to then take what we know about walking in the natural, literal walking, and then see how that applies to our spiritual walk. The second thing that we want to notice is when you're walking, you can only go in one direction at a time. Just one direction. That's pretty clear, pretty simple, pretty obvious, but we need to understand that in the spiritual realm. The third thing is that walking is a purposeful, progressive, and methodical activity. In other words, you walk by putting one foot in front of the other, one step at a time. That's how you progress from one point to another. The fourth thing is, you may not immediately associate this with walking, but I believe, well, I know Scripture does, and so then I begin to look at the literal and realize that walking also involves fellowship. How many of you like to walk for exercise? Okay. How many prefer to walk with someone? Those that raised your hand. You prefer to walk with someone. And when you are walking with someone and you have conversation along the way, I have found that it's always helpful that you go in the same direction. Okay, that's another obvious, I realize. But once again, when we come to this spiritual lesson here, it's important to understand that if you're going to enjoy fellowship with someone, you need to be going in the same direction. And the last thing that we'll notice is that in the natural and the spiritual walk, there is a time when the destination is reached and the walking ceases. All of these elements, all of these activities of literal walking have important lessons for us about our own life, about our Christian experience. Walking is a means in the spiritual realm to get from one place to another. We have a course that's been set before us. We have a path, a way that we are to walk in. Beginning at the beginning, everyone that's a part of this human race is born into sin. And as they begin to make their choices in life, as they begin to walk, as they begin to live their life, they're walking away from God. They are born on the path of sin, which goes in the direct opposite way of where God and blessing and life and light are. In Proverbs 14:12, I'm going to be given a lot of references here that I'm just going to refer to. You're welcome to make notes if you'd like. We won't always have time to go to them this morning. But Proverbs 14:12 tells us that there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And every individual that's born in this human race is walking away from God in a way that seems right to them, but it's a way that leads to destruction and eternal death. Death is a separation from God. When we talk about spiritual death, it's not just when we come to the end of this life as we know it, when these bodies stop breathing, when the heart stops beating. But death is an eternal separation from our Creator, who created us that we might have fellowship with Him. But sin brought death. Sin brought that separation. And because man is on the path of sin and death and condemnation, his daily walk, his daily choices, his daily activities are described by God as perverse and vile and sinful. Ephesians 2, in the first three verses, if you would, turn to those. And we see what our walk was before we came to Christ. The steps of walking, the spiritual steps of our spiritual walk, each decision, each attitude and activity is considered a step that's taking us in a certain direction. But before we come to Christ, we are on the path of sin and death, walking further and further from God. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit which now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as others. We walked in that course of the world. Every choice we made, even those that were good and noble, as far as we were concerned, as far as men were concerned, they were steps of death. But thank God, He made us alive. Thank God, He changed the path in which we were on. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus spoke these wonderful, wonderful, familiar words to those of us that have put our faith in Jesus Christ. John 14, 6 declares, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is now the path to God, the path back to Him, to life, to redemption, to forgiveness. And all who've accepted Jesus as their Savior have been translated from that path of sin, and we've been put on the way of life. And our destiny is eternal life. Now we're walking toward God. Now the Bible talks about the daily walk of the believer. Before we were saved, we had a walk, but it was a walk of death. But now we've been given a new path. We've been set on the path of life. And now our daily choices, our each step of every day is to be taken in a certain way, and instead of the perverse way that we once walked in, we've been given new ways. We've been given a new power, a new energy to take those steps. God did not save us that we might continue on the path of carnality, that we might continue to take steps of perverseness, but He saved us that we might now walk in a way that honors Him. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10. This is a key verse, so if you would, turn to this. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10. Remember, as we now begin to consider the walk of the believer, walking, the first point is it takes you from one place to another. Where is your life taking you this morning? When it's all said and done, I want us to understand that God wants us to walk that we might have His best. Now, every child of God is on the path of life, and your end destiny is going to be heaven if you've accepted Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. But a lot of God's people are taking steps that are leading them in a direction that is going to lead to loss of what God, through the death of His Son, has provided for them. We read in the Scripture about the fullness of God. We read about the rewards that are promised those that are faithful. Our steps are leading us in one direction or another, either towards reward, God's fullest reward, His highest reward, or leading us to something lesser. Saints, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you will want His best, because that's what He wants for you. Because that's what will bring His grace the highest glory. It is not pride, it is not arrogance to want God's best. In fact, it is arrogance not to take steps toward His best. Because God has given us this privilege and this commandment to follow after Him. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It could not be any plainer than that, any more simple than that. Thank God for the simplicity and the power of His grace that saved me forever. But thank God for verse 10 as well. For we are His workmanship. He made us. He created us. In Christ Jesus. Why did He create you? Why did He take you off the path of sin and death and put you on the path of life? Why did He do that? Which God created us in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should do what? Walk in them. He's laid out a new course for us, and we are to walk in it. We're to go from one place to another, step by step. Ephesians 5, 8 tells us that we were once in darkness, but now we are light, and now we are to walk as children of the light. The steps that we take are confident steps. They are bold steps. They are purposeful steps because we see things as they are. When you walk in the dark, it's always best to be very careful and very cautious, or you're going to hurt yourself. Sometimes very seriously. I'm glad that I'm a child of the light, and I've been put on the path of light. And so the steps, the choices that I make in life, they can be bold, and they can be made with confidence that God's grace is sufficient for every step of the way. There are so many fears and anxieties, as I think of many of our young people and our children that are being faced with decisions, that it's a scary world out there. It's frightening to think of all the unknowns. But thank God I can walk with confidence as a child of light, because I see things as God sees them. And the decisions that I make, when I make them in the light of Scripture, in obedience to the Word of God, I can take that step with confidence, knowing God will take care of me till the day that Jesus comes. We've been enlightened. If you want to jot down Colossians 3 in the passage there, 4 through 17, and you'll notice some of the things, the choices, the attitudes that are now to make up our steps in this walk. We won't read the passage this morning, but it simply talks about the things that are to characterize the believer. Our love for one another. We are to put off all of the other things that used to be the way in which we walked and the way the world walks. Sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, lying, all of the things that are the characteristics of the flesh. But now we're to take different kinds of steps. We're to make different kinds of choices. Choices that are made motivated by our love for God and our love for His people. We're to live for His glory. Thank God in this new walk we have a new energy. Romans chapter 6. Let's read chapter 6 and verse 4 of Romans. Because it does take energy to walk. It takes strength. Christy likes to walk, but I'm not able to walk with her because it affects my knees. It takes too much effort. It hurts. And in the natural, I just don't care to hurt that much. I'm glad that in the spiritual realm, I have a power and an energy that enables me to take one step after another. In the spiritual realm, sometimes there's pain and hurt. And in ourselves, we become weak. And we don't want to put forth the effort. Because sometimes it's difficult to make choices that are in agreement with the Word of God. To take those steps of light. But I'm glad for Romans 6 and verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with Him, that is with Christ, through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I've been given a new life. It's the very life of Christ in me. Every day, no matter what I face, no matter how I feel physically, no matter what I'm facing that would discourage me or overwhelm me, I can take the next step of obedience because Christ in me is the strength to take that step. That's the newness of the life of Christ, that resurrection life that's in us. Galatians 5:16. If you're still not convinced, Galatians 5:16. This is real, saints. These phrases are so familiar, and this is one of the difficult things for me, is to seek the Lord how to present things new and fresh that are old and proven, but to present them in such a way that those that have heard them all of their life receive renewed energy from these verses, from these truths, and that our young people would somehow come to a place that it's not just something that they've heard in Sunday school or all their life or their parents, but this is God speaking to you. That you can live this kind of life that's a life of power and confidence and peace and joy. Galatians 5:16 is not just a doctrine that we hold to. It's the power to live godly. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We've been given the Spirit of God to give us power to live godly. Those of you that are yet to be filled with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, young or old, continue to cry out to God for this necessary power. Those of you that have had that experience, daily be filled with the Spirit of God. It's the only way that we can take the next step of obedience. When God's people begin to slide into carnality and neglect, you know what's happening? They're trying to walk in their own power and their own strength. They're trying to obey in their own willpower. Sooner or later, they're going to fall. Sooner or later, it's going to take too much effort. We must walk in the newness of the resurrected life of Christ. We must walk by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we can step forward. What is our destiny in this walk as a Christian? As I mentioned, it's God's best. It's the fullness of God. I can be filled with all the fullness of God. Jesus is coming. As I said, biographers aren't knocking down my door to write my life story. But saints, I have the privilege to sit with Christ, to rule and reign with Him for eternity. I believe that invitation is real. I believe He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When I wake up every morning and I take the step out of bed, physically and spiritually, I want to be walking towards that goal, the prize of the high call of Christ, in Christ. As I mentioned, the second point is you can only go in one direction at a time when you're walking. You can't go both ways. The vast majority of God's people try to take a step forward in doing what the Lord says, and then they turn around and take three or four steps back the other way, thinking they can have it both ways. They can pretend to love Jesus, pretend to really want His blessing, and then walk in the ways of the world. It doesn't work that way. You can't take a step forward and then turn around and take four or five steps backwards and expect to have God's best. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Paul was writing to believers when he said that, who already had a standing in grace, as we've studied, who were already in the love of God, who had already experienced the love of God that saved them, that lifted them, as we sang. These saints were already in the love of God. But Paul says that we need to surrender to the Lord in such a way that we allow Him to direct our hearts, to direct our steps, to direct our choices, our attitudes, deeper and deeper into the love of God. The love of God is infinite. If you are saved here this morning, you know something about that love. But you just know something. He wants to show you something more with each step of obedience that you take. The third point is that walking is purposeful, progressive, and methodical. One foot in front of another. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, Paul wrote these words. He says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." The Word of God tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and we walk by faith. So if you want to make the right choices in life that's going to lead you to God's best, you need to know the Word of God, don't you? And this is why so few walk a life of godliness. It's too boring. In our society, most people don't like to walk because it's too slow. It's too inconvenient. Why take the stairs when you can take the elevator? Why walk a block to see your friend when you can drive? They say that laziness is the mother of invention, and I believe that. And I've seen it in the spiritual realm as well. Why is it that most of God's people don't live a godly life is because it takes effort to know God's word and then to apply it and take the step. Many of God's people are looking for shortcuts to learning and obeying and applying the word of God. And so, just like in the natural, laziness is the mother of invention. God's people invent shortcuts. They invent doctrines and practices. And they try to convince themselves that it will lead to God's blessing and God's best. It never has worked, and it will never work. Israel tried some shortcuts. In Isaiah 28, verses 7 and 10, you can mark that down if you want. Israel scoffed at the simple and repetitious message of the prophets. One of the complaints that I get about my preaching is that it's the same old thing all the time. Same old themes. Israel complained about the repetition. They didn't like God treating them like children. But God said it's line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. One step, next step. One foot in front of the other. Learn God's word, apply it, and take the next step. God's people don't want to hear the simple teaching of the Word of God that will lead them to His best. It's too monotonous. It's just, well, it's a little boring. It's too slow. Peter, when he wrote to the Jewish believers in 2 Peter, he said, you know, I'm going to tell you what you already know. You need to add some things to your faith. Thank God you have faith and you're a child of God, but now you need to add some things. He gives a list there. Take one step. Progress in the things of God. Children, young people, what you're learning in Sunday school, what you're learning when you hear people preach from this pulpit, it will give you the strength and the protection you need for life. And what's more, it's going to lead you to God's best in eternity. Yes, Lord. The whole concept of eternity is difficult for anybody, young or old, but maybe even more difficult for children and for the youth. But the reality is, this life is going to pass very quickly. Just like a vapor. The Bible describes it just as a vapor. Here for a moment and then gone. And you look around and you wonder, where did time go? Where did the life go? But saints, young or old, if you every day will take steps of obedience to the Word of God, you will not regret that life. You will not regret those steps. Much of my responsibility as a pastor is listening to those who have lived a life of regret, whose lives are scarred because of the choices, the steps that they made. Saints, you don't have to take those steps. If you have, God's grace is sufficient to restore you. But to our children and our young people, I cannot impress upon you enough. You don't have to make those choices. God's grace not only forgives when we fail, but God's grace will teach you how to live godly. And you do not have to suffer because of poor choices. That's the reality of the power of the resurrected life of Christ in you. Add these things to your life. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he told Timothy, you be an example of the believer. Timothy, in every area of your life, and you give yourself to reading and to exhortation and to study, to the doctrine, give yourself wholly to them, that your progress might be seen, that your spiritual walk, that people would see you're taking one step in front of another and you're progressing to God's best. The fourth point is that of fellowship. First and foremost, we need to understand that we have the privilege to walk together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amos 3:3 tells us that two cannot walk together unless they agree, unless they go in the same direction. That's true with you and God. John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, he talked about God being light, and if you want to have fellowship with him, you need to walk in the light as he is in the light. You have to go the same direction. God is faithful to watch over all of his children, even the most carnal. You come to the book of Revelation and you see the great multitude that no man can number, and you see the faithfulness of God for his most carnal of children. And I thank God for that grace and that revelation. But saints, we can have the fullness of his love. We can allow him to work in us the greatest measure of his grace. But we have to walk with him to let him do that. In Philippians 3, let's read Philippians 3, 17 and 19. That walk of fellowship is first and foremost with God. Walk with him. Agree with him. Go the same direction that God is going. But it's also important that we seek out other believers that are also going that direction. Whether we find anyone or not, we can always walk boldly with the Lord. But saints, I'm glad for other men and women of faith. I'm glad for those that have been brought together in this assembly, that God has brought us together, that we can walk together. Because there are times when we need to encourage one another. We need to remind ourselves of what we already know. I know this is no new revelation to anyone. But we need reminded, don't we? Just like Peter needed to remind those that he wrote to. And I'm glad that we have been brought together to walk together after the Lord. Verse 17 says, "Brethren, join in following my example," the Apostle Paul wrote, "and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." Saints, it matters who you associate with. There's so much false teaching that's being presented. Some of it from unregenerate, unsaved individuals. But that same attitude has also crept into those that are sincere in their error. But it brings the same damage. It brings the same destruction. We need to look for those who are walking in agreement with the Word of God. The last point. Walking has a destination. And when you reach it, it ends. Genesis 5:24, read this little passage with me. If you'll open to Genesis 5 and verse 24. This walk of faith that we have been called to Sometimes it is very difficult. Sometimes we grow weary in the way. But there is an end, saints. Genesis 5:24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What does that mean, Enoch walked with God? Well, it means exactly what we've been talking about. Enoch agreed with God and what he revealed to be true about his ways and his purposes, and therefore Enoch's daily choices were in agreement with the revealed will of God. He believed God. He had faith. Every step, every decision for his family, for his career, for everything about his life was in agreement and in accordance to the Word of God. And this man was one day translated home with God. That's my destination, heaven. It's the destination of every child of God. But saints, if we'll learn to walk by faith and if we'll walk in the Spirit instead of the flesh, we will end in the very throne of Jesus Christ. I want to walk with Him now so I can sit with Him in His throne. Do you believe that's available to you? As we take the Lord's Supper this morning, the brethren will come, prepare the elements. Paul told us that we are to take these elements, we are to celebrate the Lord's Supper till He comes. It points us back to His death. But as we celebrate what was accomplished by His death, we are also anticipating His soon return. And as we take the Lord's Supper this morning, may we come with renewed understanding of the privilege to walk with Jesus. The one who died for us, He's risen. And we can walk with Him in agreement that we might have His best when He comes. Brother Norton, if you would, give thanks for the sacrifice of Christ.